Welcome back to Coast. Richard Serrett with you. And here in Canada, I am the host of the weekly radio program, The Conspiracy Show. And I also have a television program of the same name, and season three of The Conspiracy Show will be debuting across Canada on Vision TV, August 11th at 10 p.m. Eastern. The website, richardserrett.com. And say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. Nikola Tesla. You know, when he came to America from Serbia, it is reported that he had all of 4 cents in his pocket, and I believe he died with about the same amount of money on his person. When he came to America, he came with a letter of recommendation, and it was written to Thomas Edison. The letter read, "Mr. Edison, I know two great men, and you are one of them. The other is this young man." Of course, Nikola Tesla was considered an eccentric man who talked of death rays that could destroy 10,000 airplanes at a distance of 250 miles. And of course, we know him for his development of alternating current. But when we come back, we're going to talk about another part of Nikola Tesla's legacy that has to do with healing, not destroying, not death rays. Dr. William Pollack will be with us to talk about pulsed electromagnetic field therapy. And I think you'll be surprised at the potential of this remarkable technology. Back with more of Coast to Coast in my conversation with Dr. William Pollack. My name is Richard Serrett. Thank you for your ears. Dr. Pollack is a board-certified family physician with training in acupuncture, homeopathy, hypnosis, and body work. He's had academic appointments at a number of universities, including Johns Hopkins and the University of Maryland. He practices holistic medicine in Baltimore. In addition, he's a national expert in the medical use of electromagnetics with over 22 years of experience. In recognition of this experience, he's appeared on the Dr. Oz Show regarding magnetic therapy devices. As part of his work with this technology, he's authored numerous books, chapters, articles, and interviews on magnetics, conducts research on the use of various kinds of electromagnetic systems on wound healing and other applications, teaches practitioners on the appropriate use of magnetic therapies. To be able to continue to educate both the public and practitioners and help make this valuable technology available to consumers, Dr. Pollack has established an authoritative website, www.drpollack.com, reviewing the science and various therapy options. Dr. Pollack, welcome to Coast. How are you?
Thank you, Richard. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
If you could, summarize your path into energy medicine.
I was trained as a family physician in Canada, actually, and went to University of Alberta. And along the way, I started already having stirrings of needing to do something different within medicine than what I was being taught. After I started practicing family medicine, I began to realize that a lot of what we were doing really was not for the patient's best interest. So, for example, patients came to you with pain at that time. This was back in the early 80s, for example. Patients came to you with pain, and what would you do? You'd put them on ibuprofen. And after a number of patients had GI bleeding, and about 30,000 people a year die from gastrointestinal bleeding from non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like aspirin or ibuprofen.
Give me that figure again, because that's astounding.
Yes, 30,000 people, and this has been established. This is a research study that was done on this. 30,000 people a year in the U.S. die from gastrointestinal bleeding.
My word.
Yes, that's huge. Right, so I said, that's stupid. This is stupid. This is absolutely stupid. And when I looked around at my peers and my colleagues and my specialty consultants, what could they do to help me to improve the quality of my pain management? They really didn't have any better solutions. So I said, I have to do something else. And what I did then is I started studying acupuncture. So I went to a UCLA program in acupuncture for physicians, professionals, and learned acupuncture. Now, back then, that was 1990, and acupuncture was still not very common in the U.S. There were only about 300 doctors in the U.S. trained in acupuncture at the time. So I learned that, but people were refusing the needles. And so I started working with magnets because I'd heard in the Orient they were actually using magnets on acupuncture points, and that's basically how I started investigating magnets and discovered that they had a lot of other uses other than putting them on acupuncture points. And I started reading all the science behind it, accumulating articles, and finally to this point, actually, I have about 30,000 abstracts on magnetic field therapies and tons and tons and tons of actual articles and books. So that became a passion because then by discovering what I could do with this, not only could I help people with pain without the complications and the risks, but I could help people with a lot of other problems, because once you understand magnetic fields and what they do in the body, then, you open up huge vistas in terms of possibilities.
Well, because we are essentially electromagnetic in nature, are we not?
Oh, totally. Every molecule, every atom is actually a magnet. It's a little dynamo, and it produces a magnetic field. And so when you accumulate a bunch of atoms that are magnetic and into molecules or into tissues, then you essentially broadcast the magnetic field. So they actually have equipment now to measure the magnetic fields of the brain and the heart, and they're actually in practical use. In neurology or neurosurgery, they're using magnetic fields to map the brain activity to be able to figure out where to, do surgery for the brain. In some cases, it's life-saving. In some cases, it's excessive intrusion. But nevertheless, the point is that the brain produces huge magnetic fields. The magnetic fields of the brain are the biggest in the body. So we are basically an electromagnetic apparatus. We tend to think of the body as tissue. You can touch your body, you can pull your skin, you can bang a muscle, you can use an arm or a leg. You basically are functioning that way as a tissue. But when you peer below that level, why is the tissue, how did it accumulate? Well, it's all, again, the molecules are part of that tissue. And therefore, that tissue produces magnetic fields. And magnetic fields, by principle, the Faraday effect, is you can influence a magnetic field with another magnetic field. You probably have done experiments yourself, as a kid or even as an adult, when you take two magnets and put them together.
Sure, sure.
Right? They either repel each other or they attract each other. Well, same kinds of effects happen with external magnetic fields, and they will influence the body. And you can do this in a dangerous way, potentially, using things like Wi-Fi or cell phones and so on, or you can do it in a more gentle, specifically designed fashion to actually stimulate tissue for healing.
That's interesting. You're right. That's essentially all we hear these days. It's about the harmful biological effects of EMF, but we don't hear how that can be turned around and pulsed electronic magnetic fields can be used to heal. Now, what does this have to do with Nikola Tesla?
Well, exactly. So Tesla, having designed the AC, alternating current, and the power that we have in our homes today and in our industries, that's his design. He invented AC. So he himself, in the process of inventing AC, began to work with developing coils to produce magnetic fields. Now, he produced electric fields, but he also produced magnetic fields. Now, every wire that conducts a current also produces a magnetic field. That's called the right-hand rule. So when a current is going through a copper wire, there's a magnetic field around it. Now, if you touch that copper wire, if it's not shielded, you could get a shock. But if you shield it, you're not going to get a shock, but you still get the magnetic field. And the interesting thing about magnetic fields is they penetrate the body like it was air, like the body did not even exist. It'll go right through the body, all the way through, without basically attaching to it or getting absorbed by it or used up by it. And that's an important aspect of the principle, because then you're not invading the body with anything that's going to sit in the body. But what it does is it's like the wind blowing in the trees.
And that's an interesting analogy. Explain that. The wind blowing in the trees.
All right, so we see, I'm sitting in my room looking at the trees, and the leaves are jiggling. So the wind is moving through the trees, jiggling the leaves, but it doesn't stay in the tree. The tree does not absorb or use up the wind. Now, sure, it slows down the wind, but that's not exactly a perfect analogy. But the point is, you can't see it, but you can see the effects, and it doesn't really, get used up.
So we're fine tuning the electromagnetics of the body. Is it akin to a tuning fork?
Exactly. Exactly. That's one of the aspects of one of the principles of it. So if you take a tuning fork or you take two tuning forks, for example, then you tap one of them, it will begin to resonate to a point where the other tuning fork will begin to resonate with the same resonance pattern. Now, you can tap it gently or you can tap it really strongly. If you tap it more strongly, then the other tuning fork will resonate better, faster, and last longer as well. So the body, it resonates with the tuning fork. And this is what we do. Human beings are resonating with their environment. Now, we're taking these magnetic fields that are passing through us constantly. The Earth is a huge, giant magnet. It's what we call a permanent magnet. It's a giant magnet. And we are born and live, and our total biology of humanity on this planet, in fact, all biology on the planet, has evolved over millions of years, billions of years, in a magnetic cocoon. And the Earth's magnetic cocoon, it actually protects the planet from basically being completely burned up by the sun. So as the Earth passes through the sun's aurora, through the sun's radiation, the magnetic field of the Earth, called the magnetosphere, it actually protects the planet from being toast. So even on a planetary basis, it's used for protection. But then at the biological level on the surface of the planet, the Earth's magnetic field conditions us. So our body depends on that field for its effects. Research being done by the Russians and the Americans has often looked at, when we go into space, is it due to lack of motion or gravity, or are the problems that are generated by being in space for long periods of time, or are they due to the lack of the Earth's magnetic field? Well, that question hasn't really been answered completely, because unfortunately, unless we go to the moon, our Earth stations and our satellites are still within the atmosphere of the Earth and the magnetic field of the Earth. So they're not completely out of that field.
Dr. Pollack, I mean, we are swimming in a virtual, we're constantly bathed with EMF, whether it's coming from baby monitors or cell phones or Wi-Fi. How do we differentiate between bad EMF and good EMF?
Well, that's still, again, a big open question. But fundamentally, most of the bad, in quotes, the bad EMF is extremely high frequency. Now, you can say that the sun produces bad EMF, right? Because if you stand in the sun too long, it's called ionizing radiation. So when we stand in the sun too long, then the UV rays and all the other rays coming out of the sun can actually burn us, can burn our skin. Those are high frequencies, and those are, in quotes, in a sense, bad. But on the other hand, they're also good. We need the UV to condition us, the infrared rays from the sun as well, to keep us warm. So most of the Wi-Fi that we have, most of the cell phone signals, the microwave level signals, they are extremely high frequency, and the body does absorb them. So in other words, the body will heat up from them, and that's what you get when you have a sunburn.
So it's no longer the wind in the trees. You're actually doing damage to the tree.
Well, in this case, because the wavelengths are so short, if you have you need, basically, for a wavelength to go through the body, it's got to be at least a meter long, probably about a meter long. If it's a meter long, it'll go right on through the body. So if I place a magnetic field in your back, I can measure it instantly on the other side of your body. Now, it drops off, not because the body's using it, but it drops off naturally. Because of a principle of physics, the field just drops off with the inverse square root or cube root, depending on who you read.
Okay, so explain to me then. I mean, I know you're coming to Toronto, Oakville, Niagara Falls later in July as part of Tesla Mania, and I don't know how rooted you are in the history of Nikola Tesla, but can you give me some insights into how he discovered all of this? how he could use pulsed electromagnetic fields to heal disease, to heal wounds, to even raise IQ levels.
Well, I'm not sure how he sort of came on that, but you know, if you study electricity, you know the right-hand rule. You know, any engineer knows the right-hand rule. It's a principle of physics. And so if there's a right-hand rule, and Nikola Tesla worked around all these kinds of energies all the time, the Van de Graaff generator, the so-called Tesla coil, I'm sure that he, you know, discovered some of those effects from these things, both good and bad. Unfortunately, you know, most of his writings are gone because the FBI, you know, absconded with them after he died. So we don't really know what he thought or how he experienced it. But so he designed the Tesla coil can actually produce extremely high voltage. And if it's high enough, I suppose you could be burnt by it or you could be harmed by it. But at the same time, the base of the generator is just a wound coil around the base. If you stand near that, you're going to get the magnetic field from it. So probably he discovered that it helped him. Maybe, you know, with aches and pains. He got hit by a cab one time. And I probably went back to his apartment and treated himself with magnetic fields because he refused health care for his injuries. So I assume that's probably how it evolved, that he discovered, you know, these aspects of what magnetic fields could do, because then he knew that they go right through the body.
Resonance, you know, identifying that resonant frequency, I know that figures large in all of this. Talk to me about the phenomenon of resonance and why resonance is important to humans.
Well, everything, anything in life that has color, anything that has a magnetic field of any kind is basically a pulsed magnetic field. It's a frequency field. And you need the frequency field to be able to stimulate tissues. There's an atomic microscope at Hopkins, and they studied cell cultures or cell tissues, and they put a drop of a medication used for epilepsy called Dilantin into the solution. And with the atomic microscope, they started to see jiggling of the tissues, of the fluid environment where the Dilantin was put in. So the fluid environment was already reacting to the Dilantin before they actually even saw the molecule of Dilantin. Just like we produce a magnetic field, the body does, so does every molecule, as I mentioned earlier. And so as the forefront of that molecule started to come toward that tissue, the tissue had to recognize that resonance pattern and had to decide whether it would accept it or reject it, just like the concept of two magnets. And so resonance then becomes an important part of molecules deciding whether they're going to dock with each other, whether they're going to interact, or they're going to basically try to not interact with each other. So when we do magnetic fields or sunlight, what we're trying to do basically is to develop a resonance that's helpful to us, that's going to be able to move and create energy. So that resonance then is part of the energy process. It's called an electromotive force.
And conversely, are you trying to identify the resonant frequency of diseased cells so that just like the opera singer who shatters the crystal glass, you essentially can destroy that cell with the same resonant frequency?
Yes. So every tissue in the body, every organ in the body has its own sort of resonant frequencies, which is a summation of all of the frequencies within that particular organ or all those tissues. So the brain has its own resonance pattern. In fact, we now know that the brain has, if you do an EEG, you can see these frequency bands in the brain. And you could use that principle of tuning the brain. And I use it on a routine basis.
All right. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and continue to discuss the healing technologies of Tesla with Dr. William Pollack. Right here on Coast to Coast, my name is Richard Serrett. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast. Tesla mania. 4 days of celebrations of the inventions, the visions, and the life of Nikola Tesla coming in July. And one of the featured speakers is my guest tonight, this morning, on Coast, Dr. William Pollack. Nikola Tesla has been referred to as the man who invented the 20th century. His use of alternating electrical currents and invention of the AC engine brought revolutionary changes in electrical power generation and transmission that remain the global standard today. Tesla was able to recite entire books from memory and designed his machines in his head rather than on paper. He also frequently was ridiculed for proposing impossible inventions, which he then went and invented anyway. More of my conversation with Dr. William Pollack as we discuss the healing technologies of Nikola Tesla when Coast to Coast continues. Welcome back to Coast. My name is Richard Serrett. And if you go to the coasttocoastam.com website, the webmaster, Sean Lottiser, has posted a video under the highlights section. It's a YouTube clip of our guest tonight, Dr. William Pollack, talking about treating patients with magnetic field therapy. And he is a national expert in the medical use of electromagnetics and energy medicine, more than 22 years experience. Let's talk a little bit about what these devices that you use look like, Dr. Pollack. I'm guessing if I were to go into your office, I'm not gonna see a series of Tesla coils in there, or am I?
Well, smaller versions of them, not the typical sort of Van de Graaff type generator coils, you know, with the stand and like a cap at the top. In his own life, he developed more round coils and actually has a patent for a round coil, and they're considered flat coils, basically. So what you do with those, you basically put them over an extremity, put an extremity inside one of these coils, and there are various configurations of them. You can actually hide the coil in a material or a casing. Because magnetic fields go through everything except metal. Metal will bend a coil. So you basically cover it in almost any kind of material, and it will go through a plastic, wood, skin, animal skins, etc. So it'll go through all of that and then penetrate the body. So you can see different configurations. Some of the commonest and earliest ones that he used were just truly like a hoop that was copper wire that was attached to a generator or to power lines. That's what they tend to look like. And then you can configure those in so many different ways. So you couldn't imagine the number of configurations that you could get or the way they look.
So what's the idea here? That once you identify the resonant frequency for a particular disease, you simply tune the equipment to that frequency, and then hopefully you can heal that disease? Is that how it works in a nutshell?
Well, unfortunately, that's not the way it works, typically, because we really don't have maps of the resonance of all the tissues of the body. And any pathology or any molecule in the body is going to have a different resonance pattern. So even colors obviously have different resonances. And the reason they look different, the colors are colors, is because they have different resonances. So diseases may have resonances, but a disease in one person may have a different resonance than a disease in another. And there are multiple resonances, like, say, for calcium ions. There could be multiple resonances for that calcium ion. So it's not specifically that it has one frequency only. So it gets complicated. And when you treat any given tissue, it's loaded with all kinds of molecules. And therefore, the patterns of resonance are not tunable today yet. Star Trek-wise, maybe they could be tunable. We'd have to develop large libraries of resonance patterns and what they do. So what we do instead is we assume our research has shown certain frequencies are used predominantly. Some of the common frequencies that are used are 50 cycles per second or 60 cycles per second, which is the current frequencies, the electricity frequencies in our homes and buildings. Others, as I was mentioning with the brain waves, the brain has different levels of frequencies. Going from one cycle per second, or we call it hertz, H-E-R-T-Z, all the way up to about 50 cycles per second, and maybe even more, but that's the predominant band of frequencies. And when we're alert, when we're listening and talking and learning and judging and processing, our brain is processing, then what we're doing is we're basically between about 13 and 50 cycles per second. When we're relaxed, we're going to be between about 13 and 23 cycles per second. When we're falling asleep, we're going to be between 5 and 8 cycles per second. And when we go into very, very deep sleep, we'll be from 1 to 5. And so what you can do then is you tune the brain patterns to those frequencies, and then you can treat a person and make them more alert, or you can make them relax, or you can help the brain to resonate in tune with the generator, the frequency generator that you're producing, and produce a change in the body. So by producing the energy in the body, if the magnetic field passes through, the frequency passes through the body, it's going to resonate at some level with anything that will resonate at that frequency, let's say 10 hertz. And so the 10 hertz frequency then will start to stimulate processes in the body that are susceptible to 10 hertz, that will resonate with it. It's called entrainment or frequency following. It will resonate with it and then start a cascade of events in those tissues that begin to rebalance the body.
So can this be done at a distance? Can this be done at a distance, Dr. Pollack, or does this have to be done in close proximity?
Yes and no. So part of the distance issue, I mentioned the fact that magnetic fields fall off very rapidly from the surface of the applicator, from the surface of this of the source of the magnetic field. And so about 4 or 5 inches away, you'll still get some magnetic field. It may not be strong, but if you want to have a very strong magnetic field going through the body, you're going to have a much stronger source. So yes, you can treat at a distance. Now the body's magnetic fields are also extremely tiny. Tesla, we use the terminology for the strength of the magnetic field. Used to be called Gauss, and we still use that term, frequently. Gauss is spelled G-A-U-S-S. But now most scientists are using Tesla as the unit of measure of the intensity of the magnetic field. So one Tesla equals 10,000 Gauss. And the MRI machines that we're exposed to today for diagnostic purposes are anywhere in the magnitude from 2 to upwards of 20 Tesla. Most of the time they're going to be between 2 to 4 Tesla. So that's 20,000 Gauss. So 20,000 Gauss, you can go into an MRI machine and a piece of metal will actually fly across the room as the MRI machine turns on, and it will be attracted to the generator. Just like magnets attracting themselves. Now, this is a very powerful field. And so it will actually cause metal to fly across a room. So that would allow you to then treat, in quotes, at a distance. But most of the time, the applicators are actually put pretty well on the body itself or right very close to the body.
And you can affect mood with this as well? If someone was suffering from clinical depression.
Totally. I had a patient, not a patient actually, it was a woman that I was at a conference at using a machine called the MAS, and she was having a panic reaction. She was just absolutely beside herself. Some events were going on in her personal life, and she was breaking down. So we put her on this device and laid her down on it and put her on one frequency, which is called the Schumann resonance, which is 7.83 cycles per second. And we put her on the highest intensity on the machine, and she had 100 Gauss. The magnetic field was about 100 Gauss. We turned her on for 30 minutes, and she got up a completely different person. In fact, she was raving about how well she felt.
Let me flip this around the other side, though, because I hear terms like entrainment. Used in another capacity, somewhat more sinister, and that is when we're talking about things like mind control. And I'm wondering whether then this same technology could be used to induce a state of depression in someone.
I've certainly never used it in that way.
No. I'm not suggesting you have, but in the wrong hands.
I know. Yes, sure, it's possible, because if you do entrainment, let's say you want to be sitting at your desk writing a paper, or reading an encyclopedia, or studying something on the internet, and somebody beams you with a fairly high intensity local, condensed magnetic field, like radar, that's maybe at 3 cycles per second, they'll make you very droopy and sleepy. As the brain begins to entrain itself, as the brain begins to listen to these frequencies and starts to follow the frequencies, yes. So we use it therapeutically. Could it be used, in a negative way? Absolutely.
Fascinating. Yeah, I don't want to dwell on the negative. Obviously, we're here to talk about the healing aspect. So tell me about some of your other patients and what they're coming to see you about and what you're able to do for them using this pulsed electromagnetic field therapy.
We basically, any problem in the body, any tissue in the body that you want to affect can be helped by it. So magnetic fields are not specific to a particular condition. So, for example, you can't right now. If you have an infection, you're going to get an antibiotic. If you have diabetes, you get a diabetic drug. If you have epilepsy, you get an anti-seizure drug. So this is like basically you have a condition and you have a treatment. So the treatments are specific to the condition. Magnetic fields are not like that because they operate at the cell on a very, very, very basic level. Again, the physics of resonance. And so as a result, you can treat virtually any condition in the body to varying degrees. You know, I tell people there's two things magnetic fields can't do. They can't cure stupidity. People are doing stupid things. Right? You can't cure that. And also, you can't cure death. So if it's dead, it's dead.
But virtually
death,
every...
You might be able to help it.
But virtually every other ailment, every other disease, contagion, can be positively affected by the use of pulsed electromagnetic field therapy.
Absolutely. The body has a limited set of responses to injury. What we call cell injury. There's a library of responses the body has, and virtually every tissue has the same encyclopedia of responses. And we're identifying more and more and more responses as we get more sophisticated with our testing techniques. But fundamentally, there are very similar effects. So cell injury itself involves a breakdown of the energy in the cell. So cell injury is if you burn, if you cut, if you starve, if you deprive oxygen, if you use toxic chemicals, all of that causes a cell to be injured. And then that injury process produces certain effects that are common across all cells. They include swelling of the tissues. They include a drop-off in circulation, which is part of what swelling is. They cause often muscles and other tissues to contract, to tighten up, to stiffen up. They decrease the energy production that's available to do the work of the cell, and they stop regenerating themselves. They lose the capacity to actually heal themselves. Well, magnetic fields have been found to actually impact every one of those steps of the cell injury process. So when you put a magnetic field through the body will take from it basically what it wants. It will decide whether it's going to be reducing edema or whether it's going to stimulate the DNA and the RNA. In fact, all of those are happening at the same time, but some of them seem to happen preferentially, at least in terms of being obvious to us. So really, basically, any tissue can be treated. You have to pick the right fields. Sometimes, you need a stronger field. Sometimes you need a weaker field. Sometimes you need 10 hertz. Sometimes you need 50 hertz. Sometimes you need 1,000 hertz.
It sounds like it's really trial and error.
So unfortunately, it has become a matter of trial and error. Now, we have more and more research to guide us. There's a lot more research available to guide us through this process. In fact, I published a book with an MD PhD from the Czech Republic who did his PhD on magnetic field therapies. And in fact, today in the Czech Republic, magnetic therapy is applied in virtually every spa or rehab hospital in the country because of the influence of my co-author. Well, he reviewed all of the literature in Eastern Europe. He published it. He, transcribed it. He translated it and produced a manuscript. And then we put that manuscript into English. So the manuscript describes 30 years of research in Eastern Europe. It's now 10 years old, so now they have 40 or 50 years of experience with magnetic fields. When I was looking at the literature in the West in English, because I don't read Russian. Or Czech or Hungarian. So he summarized all that. And when I was looking to do the same thing in the English language literature, there was virtually nothing. Most of the English language literature had to do with basic science of magnetic field effects on biology, but there was nothing clinical. And I met with him actually at a meeting, and he said, I have a manuscript. Would you like to work together? So we co-authored that book. And that, again, it describes all sorts of conditions that are treated and studies and research that's been done using specific kinds of fields. And now the problem is that there's all kinds of fields that can be used.
Well, what do we know about
that will fit all?
What can you tell us about the effects of pulsed electromagnetic field therapy on various types of cancer? I know we have to be careful about throwing the word healed around, but what are the effects of the Tesla technology on cancer?
Yeah, and I don't, I can't say that we have research that shows, you know, definitively that we can cure cancer. And unfortunately, in medicine, we kind of throw that word around too much anyway, saying we've cured your cancer, when it's not always, when it's really often not true. Now, if you live 5 years after you start your chemotherapy or your treatment, then you're considered by oncology to have been cured. So cancer is a lifetime process. Once you have cancer, you have a chronic illness or chronic condition that you have to deal with for the rest of your life. Magnetic fields, like any other tissue, will impact the cancer. One of the things they do is they flood the cancer cells with oxidants. So they, by virtue of bringing in circulation into that area where the cancer is growing, that harms the cancer. One of the key effects of magnetic fields is to, pulse magnetic fields, again, properly designed and properly used, will stabilize the immune system. So it actually helps the body's immune system to actually work on the cancer. I've seen many, many people with magnetic field exposures, passively or actively, where they stopped the cancer from growing. They didn't kill it, but they stopped it from growing. And when the magnetic therapy was stopped, the cancer started growing again. So even though you don't kill it, you can at least stop it from progressing. And it affects, again, genetically. It affects it with the basic cellular injury processes, problems that are generated. Okay, lots of different ways that magnetic fields, and there's a fairly good literature at a basic science level, but we have very, very little science in terms of actual treatment.
You've been involved in treating people through acupuncture, homeopathy. When we're talking about pulse electromagnetic field therapy, is this, in your mind, the holy grail?
No, obviously, you know, we have to have good nutrition. We have to, you know, live a moderate lifestyle. And if you're not going to do that, then you're going to be harmed by it. And magnetic therapy may help to undo some of the effects of that harm, but you still need to have a good attitude. You still need to exercise. You still need to move your body. If you don't use it, you lose it. You still, and it'd be a good idea to probably take some supplements as the body gets older and breaks down more. And there are circumstances where you do need surgery. So there are many other things that need to be in place as well. The metaphor that I use is building a house. When you're building a house, you have to have bricks and mortar. You have to have the workers. You have to have the tools. You have to have a plan. Right? You need all of those elements to build a house. Now, if you have tools that are hand tools, then you are going to the project is going to take longer. If you use power tools, it's going to go faster. Well, in my sense, magnetic field therapy brings power to the project. For example, one of the first American and Canadian government approved uses for magnetic field therapy was for fractures that don't heal. So after about 6 months, a fracture is considered a non-union if it hasn't healed. And what was discovered back in the 70s and early 80s was that magnetic fields will actually kickstart a process that stopped, that stalled. For various reasons, bodies don't finish healing. So the body could be sick, the body could have not enough protein, may not have enough energy or immune support to be able to finish the healing process. And so magnetic fields, when you introduce that fracture, that non-union, even if it's been there for 5 or 7 years, often it will start up again. Now, you may treat for a year before it gets fully healed, and you may need to do it 12 hours a day. But that the magnetic fields offer the opportunity to get that restarted.
All right, Dr. William Pollack. More of my conversation with Dr. Pollack as we discuss Tesla's healing technologies, pulsed electromagnetic field therapy here on Coast to Coast. My name is Richard Serrett. Don't go away.